Welcome back to Proof to Product. In today's episode, we have a very special guest, Brigitta Swanson. She's the owner and creative mind behind Yardia, a nature-inspired gift and stationery company. She also happens to be one of our labs members and a Paper Camp alumni. Brigitta shares her journey for starting her business alongside her teaching career, what it was like venturing into wholesale, and how she has experienced rapid growth. She shares some of her incredible wins with us here on this episode. But she also shares that as her business grew, Brigitta began questioning the need for more, realizing that she already had enough and desired a simpler, more content life. She made intentional shifts in her business and in her personal life to align these desires and found that true fulfillment came from focusing on what brings happiness. Listen in as we dive deep into Brigitta's journey, her insights on goal setting, the power of automation, her experience with social media, and the courage to make choices that suit her and her business. Business contentment over business growth, as she calls it. This episode is brought to you by our Email Marketing for Product Makers Guide. 49% of your customers want to hear from you on a consistent basis. Yet, only a small percentage of product-based business owners are actively sending out monthly emails to their customers. If you have struggled with what to say, when to send your emails, or how to plan out your email marketing strategies, we have a tool for you. Head to prooftoproduct.com/email marketing and grab our free guide. This tool has helped hundreds of product makers plan out an entire year's worth of emails. No more sitting in front of your computer wondering what you should say. And the best part? They're creating templates that they can rinse and repeat year after year, month after month, and they did it in less than an hour. So grab your workbook at prooftoproduct.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Brigitta, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie.
I am so happy to have you here. We've got a lot to talk about. You've had some really big revelations in your business in the last 6 months. You've made some big changes that have improved your productivity and your revenue and all sorts of things. So you had a big trade show that was successful. So we've got a lot to talk about. But for those that aren't familiar, let's start first by telling us about your business, Yardia, how you got started, what you sell, what kind of revenue streams you sell through.
Yeah, so I own Yardia, which is a gift and stationery company where I create nature-inspired and watercolor-driven cards, home goods, and art prints that help folks to love the place they live and express their identities, really. And I started, you know, I was thinking about this, Katie. I started drawing all of my family's Christmas cards when I was in first grade.
No way. That's incredible.
Until now, yeah. And I would pretend like I was a greeting card designer. I would put little like logos on the backs of these cards that I made. And then in 2008, I learned about this like new company called Etsy. And so I decided to start an Etsy shop under the name of Yardia. And I like started there. On the side of my teaching career, I was also a new art teacher at the time and did that through, I think, about 2016, just kind of doing Etsy. I think I had started a few craft shows by then, but then in 2016-ish is when I kind of ventured into wholesale. And that's basically when my business started like growing and growing. And so from then, it took me another several years before I was ready to exhibit at that time, I think it was still the stationery show, but co-located with New York now. And I did that in my first major trade show was February of 2020.
Oh, my mouth is wide open right now for the listeners. I did not realize that was your first show.
Yeah. And right before that, actually, I had kind of been at the point where I had been gone down to part-time in my teaching job. And then basically at the end of the 2018-2019 school year, I decided to quit and was going to pursue Yardia full-time. And I went to paper camp as kind of my end of teaching gift to myself.
I remember.
Yeah, and then went to the trade show, and then the pandemic hit. But because like it had been a lot, like I started in 2008 and like up until 2020, I feel like by that time, I had really developed this like rooted system of how I knew my business was running, what I like to do. And so I was able to, you know, anxiously roll with it and go through the pandemic and, you know, continue to grow.
Yeah.
So yeah, now my business, I would say it's probably somewhere between 60 to 70% wholesale. And then the rest of it is a combination of e-commerce. And I do a few large craft shows a year.
Fantastic.
But mostly wholesale. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So I knew you came to paper camp right before the pandemic, and I knew that you were leaving your teaching job, and it was this really nice, like hybrid moment for you to like, okay, now I'm educating myself on how to really move forward with this in a strategic way. So was that stationery show was noted the very next show you did, which it was just now in 2023, or did you do anything in between?
No, I went back in, I think, summer of 2021 to New York Now. And I guess I had done the like virtual noted show at 2021 or 2020 or something like that. So I did a couple more New York Nows, and then I did noted in 2022. And then this one was also in 2023.
You had a really good show at noted this year. Do you want to tell our listeners how you did?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was great. It was probably one of my best shows ever. It paid for itself from orders on floor. I think I ended up with 14 orders or something like along those lines. And a lot of them were like well over my minimum. And just the main thing I learned from that, because, you know, I'm from Seattle. Most of my stores are based on the West Coast. So doing noted in San Francisco, I felt like I just didn't have to, like, it was just easy. Like I didn't have to explain my work to the buyers that were there. They just immediately understood what I was trying to do. And we're resonating with it versus when I'm doing a show like in New York, I usually have to explain a little bit more like this is all about nature.
Yeah, that's a really great point. We talk about that in paper camp too, of like how not every show is best for every brand, because you really want to find shows where your audience is going to be there. And to your point, you don't have to explain, look, this is nature inspired Pacific Northwest created, right, like, right, you know, what it is. And obviously people on the East Coast adore nature as well. But I know what you're saying about there was just a built-in audience there for you.
Exactly.
Of your 14 orders, it sounded like a large chunk of them were also from brand new accounts, which is fantastic.
Yeah, the vast majority, probably like 80%, were from new accounts to me, which was really great because a few of them I had reached out to before, but most of them, I think, just found me on the floor. So that really was also beneficial because I wouldn't have connected with them otherwise if I hadn't been at that trade show. So it's a great
definitely.
Yeah.
Trade show goals are tricky, especially for smaller shows and also for folks that are exhibiting for the first time. I know this wasn't your case. You've done shows in the past, but when we don't know what to expect with a new show or a newer show, or it's our first time exhibiting at a show, it's hard to set some of those goals. And I always talk to folks about, look, you want to meet as many contacts as you can, whether they're a current account, whether they're a prospective account, whether they're a total new contact in your lead list. But one of the things we always talk about is like, this is your opportunity to connect with new stores. And I've heard from a lot of other folks that have exhibited at Noted that they were mainly getting reorders. So the fact that you had such a large contingency of new accounts is fantastic. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, no, it was great. And it was nice because I did see some of my current buyers that I had never met in person before. So that was just really nice to get that FaceTime with them and, you know, be able to build that relationship a little bit more.
Oh, totally.
And then even the people who I was meeting and didn't necessarily place an order at the time, it's always good to be able to, you know, tell your story and be able to show things in person. And yeah, everyone that I met, it was just so relaxed. I felt like that it made it really nice.
Oh, that's fantastic. Talk to me about your follow-up after the show. What kind of process did you implement to connect with people you met at the show that maybe didn't place an order right away, or other prospects that had been on your radar that you hadn't connected with? What follow-up did you do?
Yeah. So I like kind of systems and making it as easy on myself as possible. So I always follow up by, you know, creating the list and then sending an email as soon as I can within a few weeks. I think this time it took me a little bit longer than usual, but I had a lot of orders to pack. So that was good. But yeah, following up with a personal email to each of the stores that I met and had gotten contact information for. And then, you know, I continue to follow up with people with further emails is the main way that I do it from time to time. Like if I have a new collection coming out or something like that.
Yeah. The nurture emails along the way afterward. It's super important. Shifting gears a little bit, you recently took a break from social media and you shared this in our labs community and all of us were like, what? Tell us more. Because it has had a lot of positive effects on you. You mentioned that your revenue increased 31%. You mentioned that your mental health has improved. You've had time for other things personally in your life. So just tell us, I would love to hear more about your reason for taking the social media break. And then from you specifically, what benefits have you seen?
Yeah. No, it's been very surprising how good it's been. I wasn't expecting the increase in revenue, actually. But in December, I guess, I was starting to think that I wanted to take a little break from social media. And I really just started out with as, oh, I'll take January off and then go from there. So I had been using TikTok more than felt healthy to me, like just scrolling and watching lots of fun videos, but spending a lot of time being distracted by that. And then also every time I went onto Instagram, I was just finding myself in like comparison mode to other businesses, which also isn't super healthy for anyone to be doing. So in January, at the beginning of the year, I was like kind of New Year's resolution time, I guess, and decided I'm going to spend less time on social media. I sent it out to like, I think my followers and then also as a newsletter. It was just like, I'm going to take a break and we'll probably, you know, just post less. But instead, what happened is I just deleted TikTok and Instagram from my phone and have been off of them for the past 6 months now. So after that, because I knew I was going to take a break from that, I was like, okay, well, what do I have time to do now instead to continue marketing and sales? And I also knew I wanted to focus on wholesale this year. So I set up a CRM. I went with Pipedrive and really just started working from this list of stores that I wanted to reach out to. So I had built this list of 1,000 stores that I was interested in working with. I started emailing them regularly. I kind of automated the follow-up on that. And so far, I think I've reached out to about over 800 of those stores in that time. And yeah, my revenue went up as a whole, went up by 31% so far. It keeps increasing as time goes on. And comparatively, last year, I mean, for the stage of business I am, from 2021 to 2022, for that same period, it was more like 10% increase. So it's a like significant change.
It is, yeah.
But besides that, I was like doing more direct outreach that I could see the results of a lot more strongly than anything I could do on Instagram. I was reading a lot more. I've read more books than I read in the entirety of last year. I did a bunch of gardening and I redid some rooms in my house. I spent time with friends and family. And then just, yeah, I like volunteered on some committees for the Greeting Card Association. So yeah, just all these things that just felt more like not just productive, but just more fulfilling than, you know, spending all this time scrolling on social media, which is also wonderful. I think like Instagram and TikTok can do great things for businesses, but they weren't serving me in the way that I wanted them to.
Okay, Brigida, I love that you're sharing this and I really appreciate you sharing what you did instead, because I know many people get concerned about, well, if I'm not on social, how are people going to find out about my products? How are they going to know how to purchase them? You know, there's this a bit of FOMO around it of they'll forget about me if I'm not being visible, right? But it wasn't that you were not visible. You were choosing different methods for that visibility. And I also want to point out, you were choosing methods that aligned with the goals that you set for your business. You knew that this year you wanted to focus on your wholesale growth. And so you dedicated your time to setting up the CRM, building out your email systems, working through all these flows, and that has paid off. So you removed the distraction piece and you implemented the pieces that were really pushing you towards your goals. So I want to just give you major kudos for the intentionality behind that, because it's really, one, it's smart, two, it's improved your own health, and three, it's improved your bottom line, which again, a lot of people fear leaving social because they worry their revenue will drop, but you've shown otherwise.
No, it's been great. I mean, I would recommend it to anyone who might be also struggling a little bit with maintaining that boundary between life and social media.
Yeah. I also will say, like, I do think this works better. What you've built on the wholesale side are the foundations we all need to have in our wholesale businesses. I think for those listening that have more direct-to-consumer based business, I do think there is a larger reliance on social media playing into sales.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, this is where too, we get to peek inside of other businesses and see what's working for them and how we might be able to leverage some of those ideas in our own life. So thank you for sharing that. I also loved you shared with us that you have recently shifted your focus to business contentment versus business growth. Can you tell us more about that and what that means to you?
Yeah. So I quit my job in 2019 and I basically quit at that point because I knew I was going to make enough money from Yardia to, you know, support my basic needs, you know, pay my mortgage, buy my food, buy health insurance, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And since then I've been, you know, just aiming for growth, growth, growth. How can I get in more stores, like make more sales? And that's great. And it's been helpful. But at the same time, I've also been kind of realizing, like, I already have enough. Like, it's already giving me the lifestyle that I want to lead, which is, you know, a fairly quiet lifestyle. I just want to, like, spend time in my garden, do some painting, you know, take care of my chickens in my backyard. But why am I trying to, like, push myself to, oh, I need to, like, have all these sales reps or have all these employees or build this big, big business when what I'm already doing is what I've always dreamed of doing? So, yeah. So this year I really started trying to be more intentional about that in terms of, like, what do I actually want my business to give to me? And what that is really, I want to be content and living a life that brings me a lot of contentment and fulfillment and get that growth. That's more of, like, if it was a tree, it'd be more of like the roots that are growing instead of branching out, I guess it would be. It's been a nice shift. It's felt really right to me.
I love what you're saying about this. I had Kelly Higdon on the show, gosh, it was a long time ago. And the title of that episode was Knowing You're Enough, and not you are, not knowing that you are enough, but knowing what your enough is, which is speaking to exactly what you're saying. What am I trying to build here? And how is that going to support the life I want to live? I don't need necessarily a large team or $1 million or, you know, like you said, this complicated business model.
Yeah.
I'm happy with a simple life, a simple business model, a business that fuels me and makes an impact in the world. It's really nice to hear you say that, because I think so much of what we talk about in the online business world is the growth component. And that's, I think that's natural because everyone is interested in growth of some sort, whether it's revenue or personal growth or whatever. But it's really nice to hear you talk about contentment. Like, I've worked hard to get to where I am. It was at a pace that worked well for me. And now I'm, like, reaping the rewards of that. And I can make whatever choices I want and continue to grow it organically in a way that still suits me.
Yeah. And I think about, I mean, I've just been doing this for so long too. And so much of that time I was doing two jobs essentially. And just knowing that the pace of that, which if I compare it to others, it, like, feels very slow, but it was the right pace for me. And, like, I'm very grateful that I had, like, this very slow growth. And so now I can see that and see, like, oh, what is this that I liked and how can I move forward at a similar pace? Or how can I, you know, move back a little bit even, and where do I want to go with this?
Well, you're giving yourself the gift of space, right?
Yeah.
You're giving yourself the freedom to make choices as they come up. You're not holding yourself to an unreasonable, unsustainable standard of, You know, I hear from some folks, I think it's good to have goals. You know, I love my goals, Brigitte.
Oh, yeah. No, I love goals too.
You know, goal setters. Right. We're both goal setters. We're both list planners. We're both like people that love systems and strategies. But at the same time, one of the misconceptions or downfalls that I see from folks I work with, and I'm not talking about you specifically, but like they set these wild goals that really have nothing to do with the life they want to lead. It's like people that are like, I want to be a seven-figure business. And it's like, really? Do you really want that? Like, do you know what's involved in that? And if that's what they want, fantastic. Or there's people that are, you know, I want to be in a bazillion stores. And if that's what they want, like, we can make a plan to get there for sure. But like, really taking the time, which you have done so well, of understanding what your needs and wants and desires are and what you want your life to look like. That makes it so much easier for you to then make the rest of the decisions in your business because you know what you're working towards.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps me to like come to a decision making from a much more like grounded space, I think.
Yeah.
And just see how it's going to all work with what I've already got going on.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. And there's no knock on anyone that's working towards the seven-figure goal.
Oh, yeah. That. Like more props to them.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just a different path, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Cause I think contentment is something we all, especially nowadays, need to be working towards. And I think it's an important conversation to continue. As part of this same kind of conversation, I know that you used to have an employee that helped you with fulfillment and you have since parted ways with that person. And I would love to kind of talk through, like, you brought that person on. Well, this kind of relays back to what we were talking about. I sometimes feel like we make decisions because we think we need to do something or that's the way everyone else is growing. And so did you hire this person because you truly had a need for it or did you feel like that was just what you were supposed to be doing?
A little bit of both. I hired someone for fulfillment and it was really at the start of the holiday season. So that was like, timing. You know, timing wise, I definitely needed the help. But as I'm talking to you, I'm remembering I was working with a coach at the time. And I was like, I need to hire someone. I need to hire someone. She was like, do you really want to hire someone? Like, based on everything, all of like the little things I would come up with. She's like, is this really what you want? And I'm yeah, it's what I need. And I'm like, oh, she was right. I thought I needed to do it. I thought that was what I should be doing. But when our time parted, naturally, she was moving. Also, the holiday season was over. So it kind of just ended naturally. I realized, I'm like, oh, that wasn't necessarily the best fit for me because it really got me into this system of having this very set schedule of someone coming to my house and having someone be in my house where I work from. And a friend had been, I was trying to sort through it and a friend explained to me, she's like, Brigitte, you know, you quit your job because you wanted like a lot more freedom to do what you want. And this has really stifled that for you. I'm like, oh yeah. That's exactly it. Like I didn't have that freedom and flexibility to like set my own routines without having anyone else. So yeah, I don't think a new person working with me in person is probably in my future. But after that, again, I set up other systems to make it work for me so that, you know, I wouldn't be getting into that trap too often of being super busy with just packing orders. So
yeah. Well, and I know I approached that question from an awkward angle and I didn't mean to like put you on the spot. I think a lot of us feel so much, our cups are overflowing. And so we like the natural response is, okay, let's get some help. Let's like relinquish some of this stuff. But as somebody that also works at home, like I know how difficult it is to have people come into your home or even just the pressure of now I need to manage somebody else. I need to support somebody else's livelihood. You know, there's all these facets of hiring somebody. It's not as quick and easy as, you know, some make it seem of like, oh, just hire an employee, you know?
Yeah.
And so again, I think this goes back to your intentionality as a business owner and realizing like, I need to know what works best for me and work that in. Have you thought about utilizing some of the systems? I know we've talked about it in labs and also in paper camp where people are sending product home with other people.
Yeah.
For packaging and sleeping.
I've thought about it. I haven't started doing that yet, mostly just because of supply chain things has made it difficult to be like, oh, I can start this and hand a lot of stuff over to someone. Right. So I'm just like still trying to get stuff in. But what I did end up doing is like I had this one product that I really hated packaging for shipping for retail, which are camp mugs. They're just like difficult to package one by one. They're fine for wholesale. But so instead, I moved that over to like a print on demand. So I'm not having to do that anymore myself for the retail orders. And that saved me a lot of time. And then also just automating other things and still hiring out, but for things like my bookkeeping, which I used to do all myself. And right now I'm trying to also get an accountant, which were things that I enjoyed doing. I like the numbers, but I'm probably better at other things that in my business, I could hand that off to someone else.
Yeah, I love what you said. I'm still outsourcing. It's just not people in my space working in my home, infringing on that flexibility that I was really striving to create for myself. So that's awesome. And thank you for sharing that, because I think there's a lot shared of like how folks have grown these huge teams and it's worked out really well. And in reality, a lot of us make a lot of mistakes along the road when we're hiring, and either it's not a right fit or it just doesn't work out, you know, for various reasons. And I think it's good for us to share those stories too. I've certainly had my fair share of those stories too. Well, hey, I would love to hear what's coming up next for you and Yardia. What do you have planned for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of trade shows coming up. So I'm kind of in the stage of preparing for those, but I'm also working on my spring of 2024 collection right now, which is super fun. So I've been spending a lot of time in my art studio painting and doing lots of fun things. I recently released, and I know that you helped me coach me through some of this, was a collection of kitchen goods of tea towels and sponge cloths. And those have been doing really well. So,
oh, good. I was going to ask.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, they've been doing great. So I'm like building out and expanding on those and working on some new designs for that too. So yeah, lots of new things coming out from Yardia soon.
Oh, I can't wait to see. That's awesome. Well, share a link to your website and your socials, even though you're not necessarily on them. But
where
can people find you?
The best way to find me or to stay in touch with me is probably through my newsletter right now. I send that out once a week for retail, and you can find that at yardia.co/signup. And yeah, that's my website, yardia.co. And you can also wait for me to come back to social media. On Instagram, I'm at Yardia, and on TikTok, I'm at yardia.co. And see if I ever show up there again.
It'll be a game where we just sit and wait. Well, Brigitte, I really appreciate your time today. It was fascinating to hear about your story. And I just want to give you major kudos. You have done a very amazing job of growing this business intentionally to suit your needs. Everything you've decided on and choices you've made has really been intended to make this business fit around your life, which is what we all want. So you're a shining example of how that's possible. And just thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks, Katie.
Yeah, of course. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Big thanks to Brigitte for joining me today. It was fun to hear about and also celebrate all of the wins that she's had. But it was even more refreshing to hear her talk about how she's choosing business contentment over business growth in this season. It's a great reminder to all of us that, one, there are seasons in business, and two, sometimes what we have is all that we really need or want. We don't need to be working towards arbitrary goals, only things that will actively enhance our life and our business. So thank you for these important reminders, Brigitte. You can find all of Brigitte's links in our show notes. And if you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend that would benefit. And if you're open to it, leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. Your reviews tell the podcast feeds that our show is worth promoting to new listeners, that you love it, that you want to hear more of it. Plus, it makes us feel good to know that this labor of love is making such a positive impact in your life and your business. Head to ratethispodcast.com/PTP. You can leave your 5-star rating and write a review. Again, that's ratethispodcast.com/PTP for proof to product. You'll be able to select your favorite podcast player and leave a review there. Thanks for listening until the end. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.